Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yo! Welcome into the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thank you so much for hanging out here with me, here on the podcast. I'm glad that you stuck with us no matter what. And whether if you're listening on Spotify or if you're just hanging out and listening on Apple, we appreciate you. If you are checking us out via YouTube, thank you. The response on YouTube has been great. And I'm thinking you guys are actually really helping me get this thing to like the next part of it, which is the revenue generated part. YouTube has a lot of standards that you have to get to, and I understand it. You know, you want to keep standards high. But we are getting closer and closer to those, and considering that we've really only been doing stuff on YouTube for 2 weeks, I thank you sincerely for being interested in the content that we put out, whether it's sports stuff or whether it's media stuff. And I know that people are super interested in what's happening at the Score. I don't have an update for you because as it stands right now, like none of that stuff really has to do with me. I think that it's fair to assume that there's not going to be any movement from Dan and myself. And we'll see what ends up happening with the afternoon show. So we'll stay status quo. Like we've put all of our bear stuff out there. On Tuesday, we let everyone know, like, we're making plans, like, as a show to do our regular stuff during football season with a couple twists, a couple people that we've added to the mix. And we're doing a show from the Brick House on the 17th of September. So, if you were wondering if I'm going to go anywhere, Nothing says that I'm going to right now. Everything would tell you that I'm not. And yeah, I'm wearing the same hoodie here as I am in that picture over there. But I only wear this hoodie like maybe twice a year. I love it. The Tattered Teddy. For those who are on YouTube, I love this hoodie. I got to get another one because, you know, I like this one because this is a little bit more of my personality. But there's some other versions of it that I think are dope, and I might have to pick that up. So listen, whether you enjoy the sports content that happens here or the media content, I like to bring it to you. So I had an idea after what I thought was a really cool conversation with Matt Spiegel and Dan Bernstein last Thursday before I took a long weekend with Labor Day. I wanted to talk about some of the things that we discussed as a threesome, which was really cool. I like when we get to talk industry, and I know that that's not ideal. Some of it can be a little bit of inside baseball, but here in the podcast, you can just, you know, if you're not interested in this, you can just move on to, you know, the SEC preview or whatever, to another, or to another pod completely. But I like talking about this, and obviously I talk with my students about stuff like this as well. One of the things that I thought was interesting in the conversation with Spiegs and with Bernstein was we were talking about kind of like the difference between what a local show needs and what a national show needs. And obviously with Danny Parkins going national, I don't think that Danny's style will change, because Danny's always kind of been maybe a little, even though he's worked locally, his style has always been kind of broader stroke stuff. Like, he's big on here are the big issues, let's talk about them, and then kind of like break them down. So I think that, and I watched all week last week of Breakfast Ball, and I think he's going to do a terrific job. I do wonder why they kind of have it where Stink is driving the show, and I kind of thought that Danny would drive the show, but I guess if you're them, this frees Danny up to give more opinion, and he doesn't just have to kind of sit back and referee. He could kind of do his thing. So from a programming standpoint, I could understand it either way. He's just a really, really good organized host. So in my mind, like, I'm like, he should probably be driving, but we'll see. And that could morph and change. And probably from day to day, they have these same type of discussions over at Fox. But usually you have to, I think that there is a difference between the way local product, like local talk shows, work versus what happens nationally. And I do think that some of it is, in both cases, you're playing to the biggest swath of audience that you can find. But I always struggle because with some of the national stuff, the conversations feel simplistic. Now, when we're talking about, and I'm talking about local radio versus national TV. National radio, which I have a little bit of experience with, for those of you who don't know, I did it for 6 months or whatever, hosted a Sunday morning show on CBS Sports Radio. And it was really weird because it was smack dab in the middle of the pandemic. And I was doing Sunday mornings, what time was that show on? 5 to 9 a.m. Sunday morning. And at the time when the opportunity was offered to me, I was like, man, this is what I've always wanted to try. I've always wanted to try to do a national radio show. But there were some things that went on with it. Look, first of all, getting up at 3:45 to finish the preparation that you did the night before, which meant that you were probably going to sleep at like, I was usually going to sleep at like 10:45. I was like, 5 hours should be enough, and then you nap Sunday morning, and then you're good to go. But I was doing the show by myself, and you're watching this podcast, and you're like, Lawrence, you used to do a radio show by yourself in Chicago. Yeah, it's very different, and it's very different doing a show remotely by yourself, and I didn't like it. And I talked with Mitch Rosen about it because he recommended me for the job. So I felt an obligation to him to kind of see, to kind of soldier through it. He's like, if you don't like it, stop doing it. If it's affecting how you feel Monday through Friday, then I don't want you to do it. I do wonder, had it been a different time, like let's say it was 9 to noon, but I think that was Linda Cohn's spot, would I have continued with it? And I don't know the answer to it. My experience with national networks, has been really interesting. Like when I was young, I always thought I wanted to be like a sports center anchor. And then I kind of figured out that that's not what I want to do. And strangely enough, even from a traditional sportscaster, local sportscaster job, I'm not really that interested in it. I will say there is one exception to that idea. And I'm not going to say with whom, but if the right opportunity popped up at a particular place, I would take it. But I don't see that happening. And it's not anything that I'm trying for. I'm trying to do some creative stuff like on my own, build up House of L and try to figure some of the TV landscape out here in Chicago where I shine. And I think I shine in more host than anchor. And to give you the difference, what I used to do on, you know, our Football Night in Chicago show or the Football After show, that's me hosting. What Layla does on Channel 5 is anchoring. And I did that for a while. It's fun. It's fun to be the sports anchor. But it's a lot of work for a very little payoff. And I don't mean financially. Basically, when I was doing weekends at Channel 5, and I really liked it, and I had some great mentors, you know, Paula Ferris, Peggy Kaczynski, Mike Adamly. Like, I worked with those three primarily. And that's just on the sports side. And then on the news side, I worked with, you know, Lauren Jiggetts and Dick Johnson, and I really and Alicia Roman, Cheryl Scott, the people that I worked with over on air at Channel 5 and the people who work behind the scenes, like, made it worthwhile. But if you're a sports anchor, you're coming in at, because your shows are going to be on at 5 and 6 and 10. You're coming in maybe at 1 o'clock. You're watching all of the games. You're sitting there with your producer picking out highlights. And you have, these days, I think they give sports like 3 minutes and 30 seconds to kind of tell the story of sports in Chicago and all that good stuff. It's not a lot of time. It doesn't allow you a ton of context. And usually, if you watch local broadcasts, Channel 9 is better because they look at their show as kind of a living document, and they do still take, you know, sports like very seriously. But if you look at the major local networks in Chicago, 257-932, that have sports, usually sports is at the back end of the show. And if there is breaking news, and maybe more often breaking weather news, sports gets collapsed. There were a ton of times that when I was doing sports, we would put together a 3-minute and 15-second sports cast that then would get collapsed to 2 minutes and 45 seconds. And I know what you're thinking, Lawrence, that's only 30 seconds. Yeah, but that's probably two stories. So to give you an example, that's instead of me playing Northwestern highlights of their game Saturday, that means I'm only giving the score of that game. And that's a big difference. And I think that's one of the reasons why, when it comes to the way local sports is done now on television, it can be a bit daunting. And here's the other thing. This is just my own issue. I think a lot of programmers in television in Chicago think that anyone can do sports. And I don't think that that's fair. They wouldn't let just anyone do news. Like, when you watch Layla, Layla's an expert. And she is not just ripping and reading. Like, she's writing her own stuff. She is giving context to what it is that's going on the air. And the same for Deion Miller, who I think is really great. The same for Luke Kanellis over at Fox 32. Not being given enough time to kind of tell these stories. Like, think about like if you're doing a White Sox highlights and trying to give context, and you've got 20 seconds to give context, give the highlight, and give the score. It's not a lot of time. And there were plenty of nights when I was anchoring where Alicia would need 20 more seconds, or Cheryl would need 20 more seconds because there were thunderstorms or there was a tornado. People love weather and traffic. Like, that's what some of the data says. And that's part of the thing, that the reason that they tune in to local news outlets, which makes sense. But because of that, there has been emphasis taken away from what happens locally. That's a long-winded way of me explaining to you why sports anchoring is something that I'm less interested in. Sports hosting, whole different ball game. Hosting the football after show, that's me kind of doing whatever it is that I was going to do anyway. I was watching the game, I was taking notes, and now I get to talk with experts about it. My job is to just keep the conversation going, make sure we break on time, make sure that we take care of the sponsors, make sure that everyone who is sitting in the chair there gets their say, pass the ball around. You get to play a little bit of point guard, which I enjoy quite a bit. I think it. If I'm grading myself, that's one of my best skills. I think I have two very strong skills as a host on television. Radio is a different thing. One of them is interviewing, which does translate between both, and the other one is playing point guard. I love doing that. And if you watch some of the previous stuff, I was talking about Ernie Johnson, and I think Ernie Johnson is great. I am so happy that Badlands Pet Superfood Complete is back on House of L. So I don't have a dog, but I have a friend who has a dog, and that dog has kind of become my best friend. His name is Pudge. He's adorable. He's a Morkie, a Maltese Yorkie mix. So I said, I want to bring over Badlands Pets Superfood Complete and have Pudge try it. And if he liked it, then we were going to stick with Badlands Pets and keep it going. He loved it. We mixed it with a little bit of water. He's a teeny tiny guy, 7 pounds. We mixed it with a little bit of water, and he absolutely loved it. And now, when it's mixed with his other foods, he sifts through that to get to Badland Pets Superfood Complete. Between that and the mission that Katherine Heigl has been on, I feel like it's a company that House of L should be partnered with for a long time. And you're going to be the beneficiary of this. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Loho. I'll say it again. BadlandsRanch.com/Loho. And if you order right now, we're going to give you 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things just like my guy Pudge did, go to BadlandsRanch.com/Loho. BadlandsRanch.com/Loho. We're going to give you 50% off. Pudge is going to be happy. You're going to be happy. Your doggo is going to be happy. We're happy that Badlands Ranch is back with House of L, and we hope that you benefit from it and your doggo loves it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
So anyway, I hope you got something out of that. I mean, that wasn't the intent of what it is that I want to talk about, but that's how the podcast goes sometimes. What I wanted to talk about real quick, and I feel like I've already kept you too long, but I wanted to talk about the idea of how hosts are supposed to interact with each other, whether we're talking about radio or television. One of the things that I don't like about national television is, one, the type of topics that they can do, but I understand why it's that way. If you're a programmer at ESPN and you know that whenever you talk about the Cowboys, that the numbers spike, that people are interested, you're going to do more of it because you want to bring more people to it. And I get why, to someone who's not a Cowboys fan, it would be annoying. But statistically, it holds true that the Cowboys are very highly rated, partially because of that feeling that you have about the Cowboys. If you look at the highest rated games, remember, NFL games are the highest rated television product that is available on the regular. There are other live events that can come close. Live is key. Like, that's one part of it. But outside of NFL and college football is highly rated too. This year, because it's a presidential election year, some of the, like, the DNC and the RNC will probably rate very well from a TV standpoint. The Oscars usually rates really well. And that's about it. The Olympics will rate really well because it's an Olympic year. That's why NBC can dole out the money that it has for the Olympics, because they get a great return on investment for it. But that's it. When it comes to scripted shows, like all the shows we love, they pale in comparison. Like, take, I always use this with my students because it's a show that ran for forever and was highly rated. Big Bang Theory. Big Bang Theory was on for what, 13 years or whatever? That show did great numbers, but it wasn't even close to what a random NFL game on a Thursday night or a Monday night or late Sunday afternoon will do. If you look at the top 100 rated television shows of 2023, I think 95 of them were football games, either college or pro. So I get why programmers do that. What I don't like is, I always like, for whether it's radio or TV, for it to be organic. I'm not talking about preparation or construction. I like construction. I'm big on putting shows together. The thing I always say is I believe in chaos inside of structure. As long as we can get the car back on the road to where it is that we're going for the next segment or the segment that we're in, have as much fun as you want. What I don't like is when it feels manufactured, when it feels like this person is taking this side of the argument and this person is taking the other side of the argument just for poops and giggles. Okay? I don't like that. Now, I don't mind there being some devil's advocate where you're trying to at least present another plausible argument for discussion. But some of it is set up for just the reaction. The reaction of, I'll give you an example. Is LeBron James the greatest basketball player of all time? That to me always feels a lot more manipulative than it needs to be. Why can't you talk about LeBron's greatness in a way that isn't reductive. And that's probably the word that I'm looking for. In sports radio, in local sports radio, and to a certain extent national sports radio, you can get into it and you can really talk about, man, I love the way that LeBron's game has evolved from the time that he was 18 years old to now we're watching this 40-year-old and watching all these things he can do. But sometimes the conversations are just reduced and it doesn't feel good. Like, that's one thing that debate culture inside of sports broadcasting has made me uncomfortable, because you don't feel like you're getting a true representation of how someone feels. The flip side of that, and I get this a lot, well, people say, well, you and Dan agree on everything. First of all, we do not. Secondly, if we do agree, I don't see anything wrong with that. If it's genuine, I will tell you that I don't agree with Dan. And when I don't, I tell him I don't agree with him. And I usually will lay out an argument as for why. That's what I think is some of the best stuff. Now, there are people who will be like, you're not being fair to Dan, and Dan's right. And Dan can be right. You can have the opinion that Dan is right. But that doesn't mean that a partner should never feel like they can't say that they think that their partner is wrong. Especially when they back it up. That, to me, is where some of the best sports radio can be. I don't want to do that every day. I don't want it to set up like that every day, where this person thinks this and this person thinks this and they're going to clash at 10 a.m. No. There might be things where we fundamentally disagree on something, and I'm willing to hear him out and he's always willing to hear me out. That, to me, I think can be great. What I don't like, and to take from Star Wars, I don't like when we deal in absolutes. And that's where I think you can get in trouble. People think that that makes you, it's been my experience, that people think that that's what makes you a really strong talk show host, is that you could never bend. You say what's on your mind and that's it. That's it. I think that's dangerous. There are things that I'm convicted about, and I try to stay flexible and go, well, maybe I'm not seeing it right. A lot of times people get emboldened by folks saying, well, this person always has such a strong opinion, they never change their mind. And then they play to that. What if you're presented with something that makes you change your point of view? There should be room for that. Here's an example that I'll give just from my own personal career. I think that in many ways, the Bears failed Justin Fields. And I didn't like that the Bears failed Justin Fields in multiple ways. And that there were a lot of fans who, instead of recognizing that Justin Fields had been failed, just wanted to throw him away after he didn't do anything wrong. What I had hoped is that people weren't throwing him away just to do the same thing to Caleb Williams. To their credit, the Bears have done everything possible to make Caleb Williams successful. You cannot, in all honesty, if you're honest with yourself, even if you wanted Caleb Williams to be quarterback, you can't say that about Justin Fields. You can't. They did not set him up to succeed from the moment that he walked in the door. And what I wanted was for people to acknowledge that and say, look, what if they were to trade that top pick before it becomes Caleb Williams and give Justin Fields everything he needs to win, what would that look like? And is that a viable possibility? Now, the Bears chose otherwise, and I'm cool with that. But the erasure of what happened to Justin Fields here is something that I do feel very strongly about. And I struggle with, I have not been shown enough evidence to make me kind of move off of that position. Some of it is stuff that I know that I won't repeat publicly. But I thought that the way that the coverage went with Justin Fields was a little bizarre. That this wasn't a bad guy or a bad teammate. He just didn't kind of work out. And everyone knew the reasons why he didn't work out. And we're just like, eh, he stinks. So yeah, I am rooting for him to succeed. And I do think, and every Bears fan should too, by the way, because it helps the Bears if Justin Fields plays 50.1% of the snaps or whatever it is. I think that sixth-round pick turns into a fourth-round pick. But just because I want to advocate for Justin Fields doesn't mean that I can't be excited for Caleb Williams or that I should not be allowed to be excited about Caleb Williams. And I heard all sorts of stuff about Caleb Williams too. And a lot of it I did not bring to the air because I didn't like the way that it was delivered to me by sources that I have around college football and the NFL. I think there are a lot of people, and honestly, here's what I will say. That made me like Caleb Williams more. Is some of the people who were sending me information from around the league and around college football, some of the stuff that they were saying, it made me question their expertise. And I always give this tip out to anyone who works in this business. Not everything that is said to you is meant to be repeated immediately. You have a choice. You have to look at it and say, who will gain from me talking about this or putting this opinion out into the ether? Who gains from that? Just because a source tells you something doesn't mean that you have to repeat it. You'd be shocked at how much stuff we, not just me, I don't want to make it seem like I'm special. The stuff that we are told by sources. And a lot of times those sources hope that we go to the air with it because it may help further whatever their agenda is. And I don't want agenda to be a pejorative. I want you to kind of understand that there is value to winning the public narrative. And there are plenty of people who know that and they take advantage of it. And I'm not saying that that's good or bad, but I am saying it is the responsibility of anyone that's in our position to audit occasionally. It shouldn't be, you know, I get a text message and then I just blurt out what that person told me. Usually I'm having some sort of conversation with that person to try and figure out like why they told me what they told me. And you keep that stuff and you file it. And I keep kind of mental receipts too of this person told me this, 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 and this. And they were wrong about this, 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 and this. Does that mean that that person is a reliable source? Each case is different and you have to figure that stuff out. But I say that, again, being long-winded, to explain to you that I always like it when someone moves, if they have been moved, because there's new information. That shows me that they are actively paying attention to the situation and not just saying, I believe blank, nothing can change my mind. That's where I think there's danger, whether we're talking about sports conversations, news conversations, political conversations. And I know that there have been a couple of stories lately in Chicago as it pertains to the migrant situation in the city where, wow, like it's funny how quickly a lie, what's the old adage that a lie gets around goes around the world before the truth even wakes up? And all it would have taken to head off some of this stuff was relying on people who actually have sources like on the ground to help tell the story. You hear me talk about that's a fight that I think we've lost all the time. And I know that at this point I'm starting to drift into being a old journalism professor at this point in my career, that I've been around for a long time now and things change. But I do think that there are some things that you can use as weapons against being complacent. And if more people started to use them, I think it would be a better, maybe not great, because there's still a lot of bad actors, bad faith people inside of the, even the sports journalism ecosystem that make it hard to believe. That's why when you hear Dan and I talk about reporters that we trust, we're stone cold serious about it. Jason Leisure is an amazing reporter. And we look at ethics. How does one go about doing their job? And are they being fair? Often in journalism, we talk about the concept of objectivity. And that's a bit of a myth, because we all have different points of view that we're coming from, different experiences that shape our point of view. And then you bring that to whatever it is that you're covering. I always say, can you stop and try and be fair? Can you look at it from, and it might not even be like a polar opposite point of view, but it might just be a different point of view. Can you do that and be fair? To try and not to make it personal, to just try and see a different perspective on it and then go forth in your reporting or your analysis. It's not an easy thing to do, but I do think it's a really good place to start. But it becomes difficult. And so to get back to, and I'm going to try to button this up for you, and again, I apologize for the length of this video, but to get back to the idea of like local radio versus like national television, it's the reason why we talk about like out of town stupid. And I think that a lot of really good national people can often talk about in town stupid, of being myopic. And are you seeing the bigger picture? Always look for, if you're looking for people whose opinions that you want to trust, look for those people who are trying to see things from a bigger viewpoint and adding like context to everything, I think is really important. I think about like some of the people that I really like nationally, and they're the ones that are adept at seeing, like, a bunch of the ESPN people I really respect. I think Mina Kimes is unreal. And we did an interview like 3 years ago. It's literally on the YouTube page. It's still here, only audio, but it's on here. When we were starting experimenting, I think she's really good at what she does. I think Pablo Torre's podcast that he does, or Pablo Explains, not that he's even technically ESPN anymore. He's Metalark. The podcast that they do with John Skipper is amazing. If you want to learn more about the industry, I highly recommend it. Dominique Foxworth, Bomani Jones, they're terrific. Really, really good. I look for people like that. And it doesn't, you don't have to just stop. I know that I talked about this from the perspective of ESPN. You don't have to stop there. There's great people who do work at Yahoo or CBS Sports or The Ringer or The Athletic or Fox Sports. You should be seeking all of those folks out. When you start thinking about like your feed of information, like if you're a Bears fan, you should be following Carmen Vitale of Fox Sports because she's covering the entire NFC North. What's her perspective as someone who's covering the entire division? You know what I mean? I don't know. This kind of turned into what one of my lectures would be like with my students. And I guess that's okay too. Aren't we here to discuss these things? Isn't this part of House of L's charter? It is. So I will leave you in peace with that. And I thank you again for being so supportive. Like the stuff on the YouTube page has been awesome. Wait, I'll stop the music for a second. Couple announcements. Here's our plan on House of L for the upcoming season. We are going to do hits with Chris Emma since he covers the Bears for us and it's great. And your support allows us to pay him. I am also going to put two different things up on YouTube on Sunday, okay? Or on game day. Technically, there's going to be my immediate reaction pod that you all have gotten used to that I'll do as soon as the game goes final. And then I'm going to also do a nightcap with our friends from Remy Martin. Remy Martin has become a sponsor. We are going to do a nightcap where once I get an opportunity to see the press conferences and things of that nature, it will give me more information and I'll come back and do another pod. That one will be quicker, but really excited that Remy Martin has decided to jump on. My favorite little summer drink is Remy Martin and ginger beer. It is delicious. And while it's still warm outside, it is a perfect, perfect drink for you to check out. So, we are going to have fun on game days, whether it's just the audio stuff on Spotify and on Apple, or if it is on YouTube. And again, thanks so much for your support. It is appreciated. I will talk to you next time. Peace.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.